I think it does work for some businesses. But it should be probably one of the last content marketing things you do.
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream, a session of
It's Marketing Mondays. Bum, bum, bum.
Marketing Mondays.
Today, we're grabbing the listener mailbag, digging through some of your questions and responses. We're going to talk about everything today. We've got podcasting on the agenda. We've got project management, Slack, and any number of other topics that you're going to find useful. All that and more next on Grow the Dream.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
Welcome to Grow the Dream, episode 24.
Holy crap.
David Johnson here. And the partners in crime, as usual, Rod Thompson. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. How are you doing?
I am marvelous. Still not in the room with you guys, but that's okay. It's digitally virtual. It's like we're the same room.
We do miss you.
Yeah, it's not the same.
I miss you guys too.
But it sounds the same to our listeners, probably.
Well, I hope so. I think we kind of aim at having good quality audio here, so I hope it sounds good. Josh, how are you this morning?
I'm awesome, man. I look forward to Marketing Mondays.
Marketing Mondays.
Which our listeners are catching on to, I've found out this week.
I know. It's been great. I mean, a couple of the new reviews that have come in on the iTunes podcast review page have mentioned listening on Mondays. So, hey, if you're not listening on Monday, it's okay. But we kind of feel like Marketing Mondays is now a thing.
Marketing Mondays is a thing. So we got to work on publishing earlier on Mondays. So that's our goal.
I know. Somebody was telling us that the challenge for the Monday morning commute, finding good podcast content for the Monday morning commute, is a little problematic.
We have got to meet that need right there.
Somehow, I think so.
Of course, we've got to get it out. Really
he did mention
early.
That he's an army of one, which, you know, I kind of tend to agree with. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if we can divert our whole business strategy based on one guy. However,
we should.
Except that we all instinctively agree with him.
We do, but okay. So anyway, we should try to
work
do
on that, guys.
If you're on the West Coast and you're far enough west,
Hawaii, you're good.
Yeah, you're Hawaii, you're already going to find our show good for the morning commute.
Dang it, this cup is empty.
Well, there's coffee right here, bro.
Oh, thank you.
Speaking of brews of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
We're not in the same room, so I'm drinking stuff that I kind of regret, actually. How about you guys?
I'm just glad that you didn't pull out the, what's that cheap thing that makes coffee? The pods. Keurig.
Oh, the Keurig. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for not bringing that out.
You're welcome.
I wouldn't have drank it. I get excited about the littlest things. And I love cold brew coffee. And Starbucks keeps doing things that make me love them. I don't know when
they
did it.
As much as you make fun of Starbucks, you do seem to like really have
well,
this.
Well, I would really like to see somebody knock them off. I think they need more competition. That's just
yes.
Me. But
that would help them.
Yeah, they introduced cold brew coffee at Starbucks. And it's real cold
brew. What's the
when
deal?
It runs
it's like
out,
20...
It runs out. I know this sounds weird, but it runs out.
It runs out because it takes them so long to brew, right?
They
cold brew it for like 20 hours or something.
Yeah. So I mean, yesterday when I was there, they ran out, but I wasn't complaining because I
by
already
what time
had
of day did they run out?
Probably 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. So they had plenty of people to turn down.
See,
after
but that's
that.
Actually the time when I would be more interested, maybe in the cold brew coffee. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime, right? Because it's really hot in the afternoon.
Anyways, it's delicious. Thank you, Starbucks. And this is the kicker. Some of you listening may remember the episode before where I went crazy because I found out you can get refills on iced coffee. And I felt like this is this great secret. Well, then I asked, I said, can I get a refill on cold brew coffee? And I thought for sure the answer would be no. They said yes.
Really?
No way!
Do you need to have a Starbucks rewards card for that?
Well, I mean, for free refills,
yes. That's what I
Otherwise,
thought.
It's 54 cents.
Right.
But yeah.
54 cents? I mean, come on.
I know.
But I flipped out. I was so excited. anyway.
Ah, that's really cool, man. I appreciate the update on that. I haven't tried it yet. I saw the TV spots, which kind of goes back to some of our earlier conversations about marketing, you know, and how, does Starbucks do much with their messaging? And they actually did roll out a TV campaign for cold brew coffee.
Okay. Well, if I watched TV, I would know that.
Yeah, I missed that. I missed the original launch date. And then one of the customers or the partners, whatever they call them at Starbucks, said, "Oh, have you tried our cold brew coffee?" And I was like, "What? When did you introduce cold brew coffee and not tell me?"
Yes. How can you not tell me that?
All right. So I think that's going to have to be the brew of the day maybe soon. Actually, guys, I have sitting at my office waiting for me to open
what
a brand
this?
New bag from Left Roasters. So we'll drink that next week.
Yes. And as your listeners are as you, our listener,
there we go,
is probably tired of hearing, but we actually want to hear what coffees you are drinking so we can try them on air and hopefully fall in love with them.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, on that note, we actually got a mention here recently from one of our listeners.
Do tell.
Who wrote in, Sayla Constantino, who has written in before. Great
Sayla.
To have you listening. She said that she, first of all, hey, this was kind of cool. So I'm just going to read part of what she wrote.
She's from California.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Yeah. She said, wanted to let you know how much I look forward to your podcast each week. I discovered Grow the Dream Show from a HubSpot article a couple of months ago and have been listening religiously ever since.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks
HubSpot
for your variety
that,
of insights, tendency to be transparently humorous, and for the brew of the day.
Transparently humorous.
I
highlight.
I have to unpack that just a little bit. But yeah, transparently humorous as opposed to opaquely humorous, I guess. I don't know. Which it sounds to me would not be funny at all.
I think what she's saying is that we're willing to laugh at ourselves and be transparent
laugh at Rod.
No, I was just going to say I'd laugh at Josh, so we're good.
We laugh at one another? So is that what you're...
Apparently she's got it, yes.
Yeah, and David, you're just not funny.
Oh, gosh.
But apparently you're the glue that holds us together, so we're forever indebted to you.
Yes, and you're not here, just FYI.
So we have to be nice.
Yeah. I have nothing, and you guys are in control of the mixer today, so I can't even, like, mute somebody.
But she
has
something constructive, a question at the end of that review, right?
She did, yeah, so here's what she went on to say. I'm tasked at work to find a project management system for our marketing team to use. We're an agency managing many activities and strategies for multiple clients. This is a very busy season, and we want to stay on top of everything. You've recommended Slack in the past. Do you know if they have a shared calendar feature, and would you recommend any other services? So, and then she said, thank you, Sayla. So, Sayla, thanks for writing in. We appreciate it.
I'll
project
pass.
Management is the bane of my existence.
I was going to say, David Johnson is going to have the answer for this.
I don't have the answer. I have too many answers. I you know, we use Slack for everything now. And I guess it kind of is a proxy project management system, but it doesn't truly have project management features. Well, when I think about project management,
attach a shared calendar to it.
Well, you can do shared calendars via Google. Slack has more integrations than just about anything I've ever seen on the planet. That's one of the things that they did really, really well.
They have a call integration. Do you see that?
Which one?
They have a call integration with Slack, where it shows little bubbles for people that are on in Slack. And then you can set your status whether you want to talk or not. So instead of picking up the phone and calling, you just click the button. So it's
really?
Like,
oh, mine would be permanently set to no, don't call me.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's right. I always get your voicemail when I call.
Yeah,
I always feel like I'm doing something wrong by calling you.
I don't even call them. I just text them and say, hey.
Yeah.
It's funny because our shows recently, by the way, just before we dive into the project management question, have been really fantastic, but this is what just reminded me of Joe Chernup, because his pinned tweet at the top of his Twitter account says, the best time to call me is email.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. And
that was a fun show.
More.
So we've had some stellar stuff here recently. We had Berger talking about content and other things
terrific.
Going viral.
Yeah.
We had Joe Chernup talking about HubSpot and what they do to produce a sick amount of content all the time.
Yeah,
and then Marcus Sheridan last week was content for small business. I tell you, some of those ideas he mentioned have actually left my head spinning. I'm still thinking, like, how do I?
What if we took all three of those podcasts and digested them into, like, the key points? I feel like that
would be
the killer.
We should
content
do that for
marketing.
Ourselves anyway, and then we can just podcast it.
Yeah, and then we'll turn.
Yeah, because I would like that. I'd like some of the best insights from him, and then Jay Baer when he was on, and. Maybe a couple of our other guests who mentioned a few things that we could just kind of slice up into a...
Bruce Sherman actually had some interesting insights, too.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And there's a voice helpful. That comes on. There's a TV spot somebody's running that makes me think of her. I hear it. I look up every time. I'm like, is that her? Is that Ruth Sherman? But anyway, it's not her.
You're digressing.
I am. So the best time to call me is email, calendar functions. You can. And so this is the thing about Slack. All right. Yeah. So the lots and lots of integration. So if you have a Google Calendar, and Sayla, I don't know if your team uses Google. We use Google Apps on our team for everything. But Google is a great way to do shared calendaring. But I don't know if that's exactly what you're asking for. With project management. And you guys, you know this, right? When you need people to do things on schedules and you have deadlines and whatnot, you need a system that can you can assign tasks to people and then have it automatically nag them for you.
Yeah. That's like Basecamp? Is that what you're
thinking? Basecamp does that, but I've not actually tried to see if there's even an integration. Let me look. I'll see if there's a Basecamp Slack integration. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Wow. They're kind of competitors, aren't they?
Yeah, there's definitely a Basecamp Trello. If you like to kind of move things Trello. Throughout the queue, there's definitely a Basecamp. I'm sorry, not Basecamp. Slack to Trello integration. Mm-hmm.
I've not used Trello, so tell what's Trello?
It, but I didn't use it.
Wait. Oh, we have. Oh, what is Trello?
Yeah. I've never used Trello.
Dang it! I just got a notification from my wife.
Is she Shut nagging you about, or is that a nag notification?
No,
or
it's a wonderful notification.
I didn't mean that in a bad way, by the way.
We have plans for this weekend, and she just messaged me and said, "Looks like it's going to rain all weekend." Which nobody else would know this because our listeners are from all over the country. But it's been raining here all week, like 24/7, and that doesn't happen in Florida.
No,
that does not happen.
Rainy season Florida is afternoon rain, sunny mornings.
Yeah. Anyway,
the rainy season in Florida lasts about 10 minutes every afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry. This is why I don't normally have my computer open, but you've forced me to do this. So
it's my fault.
We are so sorry to inconvenience you, Josh.
Next week I'll be back and you won't have to record. And then, so.
You are.
I really try to curb that by not letting myself do that.
All right. So there is actually there is a way to integrate Basecamp and Slack, but you have to use a third party middleware tool called Zapier.
Oh, it's not Zapier?
It could be Zapier. I guess they say to make zaps. So maybe Zapier is how you pronounce it. Anyway, I do use that tool, Zapier, whatever you call it. I use it to integrate stuff with Infusionsoft that doesn't integrate with Infusionsoft. So that's pretty slick. I like it a lot, but I've never tried to hook Basecamp to Slack. So
holy
I don't know. And so
crap.
Josh, you guys use Trello?
No. I just used it in the past and then didn't like it. So that's also not good recommendation. And I'm doing a search through all of the integrations that Slack has, and there is no, if you type in calendar, there's no integration that pops up. So that is a massive gaping hole for someone to develop. Because API or add-ons for Slack are just like all the rage.
But
these days.
You can just use your Google Calendar, right?
Well, right,
and
but
you can do. I mean, what's really cool about Slack, and very few people know this, is the backspace command thing. And if you have the Giphy thing, that's the most common thing people do: backslash Giphy and then some word like happy, and then you just get this random GIF, and it. It can either be awesome or David, you don't do this?
No, I love doing
It will
animated...
absolutely destroy your productivity, your team. So don't do it.
No, I do. I love animated GIF responses, but I usually just Google what I'm looking for because I usually have something in mind. Like it's usually going to be Malcolm, Dr. Malcolm from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
or one
theory,
of the.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the power of this command thing is like there's a service now that connects like a personal personal assistance for freelancers to do projects, and it feeds into a channel in Slack, and you use commands like I guess you just ask this personal assistant, hey, I need somebody to help create a new brochure that has design experience in Photoshop or something. I don't know how exactly it works. And you do everything from Slack, and it goes out and connects with somebody. So, you manage the project from there.
Really? So you don't actually have to go out to one of the various sites?
No, correct. This service was built entirely around like we're going to communicate with our customers inside of Slack and connect people with freelancers.
Yeah, and it does it does a great job. Like you can use Slack to control Wunderlist. You can use it to control Zendesk for communicating with customers. I mean, you could literally do nearly every business function you can imagine from inside Slack. And I just checked Jira, which is the project management system from Atlassian, which is kind of built for software developers. You know, I mean, that's kind of where it grew from, but you could use it for virtually any system. Jira has calendaring and so forth, and it integrates with Slack. So I guess if we were to try to answer Salo's question, I would say chances are you're going to find something, you know, with Slack that you can make work.
I would say it's a safe bet. If it's not out yet, like the calendar integration thing we're wanting to talk about, somebody's going to make it so you can do a command that says command calendar event tomorrow at 2 p.m. and then the email addresses of who you want to invite, and just boom, Slack goes out, creates that in your Google Calendar, you know, set up notifications for different people, that sort of thing. I don't know if it's possible yet, but somebody's going to create it, because that's a problem I can see a lot of people having.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's just a ton of stuff. So we love Slack. I actually upgraded this week. I bought
Slack. So you can manage clients from Slack now?
Yeah. So we can invite people to single channels. And that was something we always could do inside of Basecamp that was really great. I could invite a client to their project, and then we could actually even limit what they see. You know, they only see certain things. And that was really nice, and I couldn't do that with Slack without buying the account. I'd been paying for Basecamp for years, but Slack was one of those things like, we're going to try it out and then use the free service, and then there were not enough limitations that it really mattered. But now that was one of the things that we wanted to do. So we can invite people to single channel, or we can do restricted accounts, which have various restrictions. So that's kind of cool. So yeah, so Sailor, we're big fans of Slack. It's fantastic. Just fantastic project management tools out there, though. And
the one that allows you to manage freelancers within Slack is called Shido, and it's shidobot.com, shidobot.com, and it's a bot in Slack that gets stuff done for you. Isn't that crazy?
Sweet.
Very, nice. Very cool.
All right, so hopefully we've brought up more questions than answers for that one.
I think we've pretty well destroyed any hope of answering that question. Yep.
Well, at least she's now Googling all of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but we love hearing from you. So if you guys have something you want us to discuss on the show, we would love to hear from you. I've got a note here from, let's see, this one goes back a month or so ago. This is from Brandon, and he left us a review on iTunes, which is very fantastic. Thank you for that, Brandon.
And sorry, Brandon, for not getting to your question until now.
Said he mentioned a couple of topics. He said one of the things he'd like to hear about is podcasting.
What?
And then he was also asking about live event marketing, and he was wondering about how you tie that back to digital. So podcasting is obviously something that we do know a little bit about.
Yeah,
I hope so, a little bit.
Yeah, Josh, this is what you're on. You've produced 3 podcasts now in 2015, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
3 different shows.
Yes, but truth be told, it all started with Grow the Dream.
Nice.
It did. I mean, nice. It was in our conversation last December. And then I guess
awesome.
I just loved it so much, I just decided to do it full time.
I like Brandon's question, and I know Josh will have a lot to say on it. I think, David, you've done podcasting for yourself and for clients, so you have that perspective. But he's asking about it, and it makes me think immediately, I think a question that probably a fair number of our listeners would have, and is that, in connection with Brandon's here, is podcasting right for my business? Because first of all, should every business be trying to podcast? And I think we all have an opinion on that.
My first response is no.
Right. Right. That would be my first response too.
But with a why, obviously.
Yes. What should every business be doing is content marketing, probably blogging to some degree. Most every business should, but podcasting is
definitely content marketing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you've listened to the last few shows, I don't think you could have any doubt that you must be doing content marketing.
Right. Clearly.
Yeah.
You know,
you're at a huge competitive disadvantage if you don't.
Well, and it's one of those things, if you haven't started yesterday, you aren't going to see the results.
Right.
Exactly. Start. Yeah, you needed to have already done
so,
it.
So
yeah. Podcasting, I would agree, guys. There are certain types of businesses where it will make great sense. But for most businesses, the cost benefit is going to be too high. It's not that it's expensive, because you can buy the gear that you need and you can do the stuff online that it takes very inexpensively. It's not like there's a high cost barrier to entry from a financial standpoint, but the time investment is enormous.
Well, yeah, and you can scale content marketing efforts by hiring a team, bringing more people on. Scaling a podcasting effort, I don't even know where you'd start to do that. I mean, unless you just want to not be a part of it at all and just bring in guests, but you don't even actually do the interview, which here's my argument for podcasting. I think it does work for some businesses, but it should be probably one of the last content marketing things you do after you've gotten traction and you have a blog with, you know, at least 10,000 page views a month or something, where you've got something that you can actually drive people to the podcast as an extra level of engagement. And
yeah, people who are already interested in what you have to say or what you have to sell or what your product or service is.
Yeah.
And then the podcast is reaching that audience also.
It's hard to, like, there's no Google search for podcasting, right? So it's hard to find new podcasts, and you're completely reliant on, like, iTunes to help people find new podcasts. Well, iTunes doesn't surface very many good new podcasts, and when they do, it's really hard to get in it. I know your son's working with this in a podcast.
Oh,
I've had to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, you were on New and Noteworthy. That's pretty fantastic. And Colin Thompson, who we should mention, Rod, your son Colin is producing the Modern Musician Show. And so he's targeting musicians, which is this is why it's a smart move for Colin. And this might help you understand where it would make sense for your business, right? Colin has a product that he sells to musicians online. It's a digital product, and he can sell it to any musician. Doesn't matter about their geography. They might be anywhere. They can go eventually to his website and sign up. Now, that's not the topic of his podcast. I mean, his podcast is all about anything that might serve a musician who's trying to make a go of it today.
Right. And particularly, so he's having musicians treat themselves as businessmen, a whole different concept for most musicians and probably exactly what they need to be doing today.
Yeah. And it's an interesting dynamic, because the music world today is crazy. I mean, the record labels are less important than ever, because they don't put big budgets behind artists anymore.
It's just like the book writing world. The same sort of dynamic changes are in place in the music world.
But as a musician, just like as an author, right?
Yep.
You can get your audience direct. You don't need the distribution anymore, per se, in order to make a living. But that means that everybody and their brother is also trying to do the same thing. So it's kind of an odd dynamic. It's like access to your audience is easier than ever, but there's also more competition, and it's kind of,
so why is it working?
Level the playing field.
Why do you think it works well for him? Just because he already has an audience. He's doing something specific around a topic. He's got some traffic around that. He can funnel them to the podcast as an extra level of engagement.
Well, I wasn't thinking about the fact that he already had an audience, although he did. I mean, because when he launched his digital product, he built a lot of relationships with music bloggers,
right?
Which was a really smart move to help him launch his product. But he's been able to leverage that with the podcast as well, which is also smart. So I wasn't necessarily thinking so much about the fact that he had a built-in audience, but about the fact that he could benefit from the audience that he, you know, ultimately gains from the podcast. So I think from a business standpoint, if you're looking at it and saying, should we be doing podcasting? Well, one of the answers to that question has a lot to do with how you generate leads. Mm-hmm. You know, do you need, for example, if you lived in a medium-sized town and all of your business is local, podcasting, I just don't think is going to make a lot of sense unless you somehow manage to become the reigning, you know, content provider in your local area, which I don't think would be a smart move for most businesses.
Right. Yeah. I mean, here's what I think. If you were trying to do a podcast locally, the listens you would get from the right people that actually turn into customers would be because they found the blog post that embedded your podcast episode on a specific topic. Because otherwise, Google's not, like, people aren't going to find you, you know, for pressure washing Minnesota. You know, like, they're not going to find that unless there's a blog post with some content, with some text that Google can actually index and send people to. So that's where you really need that blog effort to have been successful. But here's what podcasting really does do. In my opinion, as far as qualifying the leads or creating a relationship with those leads. So we know that content marketing brings people in so that when they call your business and talk to you for the first time, they've already done their research. They already know what the questions are, what your answers are to those questions. So they're way more qualified and they go straight to the questions you want them to ask, which is like, when can we get started? You know, here's the specifics of our pool, because they've already got the, can I trust you? Right. You know, how does this process work? Questions answer, which, you know, if you're not following me, go back and listen to last week's episode.
Exactly. Cause Marcus did a fantastic job talking about being in the trust business and how you accomplish that in your blogging.
And podcasting takes it to a whole nother level in that when someone listens to your podcast, they feel like they know you, they know your voice. And if they've already read a lot of blog content and then they run across a podcast of yours and they listen to your voice and they like who you say, you know, this all assumes that they like how you sound on radio, which I guess is the risk. But assuming that they like who you are and what you talk about in your podcast, which maybe the question is, maybe you just put an audio snippet on some of your podcasts that says, you know, hi, I'm Joe Schmo, owner of this business. This is my story. I don't know, like something a little bit more simple than launching a massive podcast where you have to commit to publishing at a certain time and that sort of thing.
Hey, now on that note, Josh, you know, one of the things that I've seen done and it can be pretty effective is to simply record yourself reading your own blog posts and publish an audio file with every blog post. And maybe you don't do it with every one. Maybe you pick a topic and you just do it with those topics.
I haven't seen that. Who's doing that?
I'll give you a good example of who's doing that. A guy named John Loomer, who does, he's kind of an expert on Facebook advertising. It's John Loomer, LOOMER, .com. And he reads every blog post. And so I don't know if he promotes it as a podcast. He may not. But if you picked up his RSS feed in your podcast app, whatever you use, you'll snag his blog posts.
You know who else does that is the Convince and Convert podcast. They have either the author reads it or they have somebody on staff reads the blog post from Convince and Convert. And
interesting.
They're just 8-10 minutes long.
So I guess the question is audio worth it? That's probably what we're hitting a little bit more. But if you're creating audio, why wouldn't you just create video?
Sorry, Josh, I was talking over you, man. Go ahead.
I mean, if you're going to go through the work of creating audio, why not take the extra step and do a little video that introduces yourself so people can actually see what you look like and what you sound like? Like, I mean, that's kind of...
Depends on if you want what you look like out there. Yeah. You had mentioned earlier, it's worth asking to a degree, but you said, you know, maybe people don't like your voice or something. Frankly, I think the content is going to drive it mostly. The only way you actually really have a problem with that, I think, is if you have a truly grating voice. I mean, a really bad voice. If it's not really bad, it doesn't have to be Paul Harvey. You know, I mean,
if people don't wince when you talk.
Right. Basically, it's going to come down to the value of what you're giving them, as long as it's not, you know, you're not just absolutely hard to hear.
Yeah,
and you're right.
And I don't know where the line is for that.
I don't know either, but I have examples in my mind, and none of them do I feel comfortable using.
Oh, dang it!
Right,
come on.
You're right. The personal connections that you can create, and the sort of it's one thing to read what somebody writes, but when you put on a set of headphones and you listen to their voice, they're getting right in your head. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so there's a level of trust and credibility and even transparency that begins to exist that can't be done in print. So that's a fantastic way to go. So Brandon, I mean, you know, what if we did this, Josh? What do you recommend these days for somebody just launching a brand new podcast? What should they do? Let's do the lightning round version of
like
in 2 minutes
steps?
Or less.
Like step one.
Yeah, step one. What tools?
I mean, step one, like you need to record like 5 episodes ahead of time. Step two, you need to use like SoundCloud or Libsyn to host the podcast after you've recorded them. And I guess even before that, you need to use recording software. Audacity is really, really cheap and great.
Audacity is free, actually. Yeah, really, really cheap.
What about the hardware?
It's open source.
Yeah, the hardware, we bought a mic on Amazon for $60. It's the ATR2100. Mm-hmm. Great microphones, USB yep. or XLR if you want to take yep. it up a notch. So that's a really great starting
Simple
point.
Simple stand for them.
Yeah, and just obviously talk into it. If you're interviewing people and you're using Skype, Skype eCam call recorder records both sides of the conversation.
That's which for is, the P. That's for the Mac, right? On the PC, there's something called Amolto, M-A-A-M-O-L-T-O, that you can use to record Skype.
Okay. Delightful. Yep. I did not know that. So, you record your stuff, then publish it. I know there's some really great stuff. I use Auphonic. It's A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C, Auphonic Leveler, to kind of level all the audio files and kind of export them at the level that podcast apps expect. So I use that kind of yep. as the final production piece. But other than that, then you have to get reviews. You have to syndicate through iTunes, and obviously there's a lot of questions that I'm bringing up, probably not answering all of them, but
yeah, but those are the simple steps. I mean, we did it a little bit more as Josh, as you would say, I like to do things the difficult way, right? So but we because there were three of us and not just one, USB mics wouldn't work for us, so we actually bought a mixer and we plug in the mics together in studio all into the mixer, and that is a fantastic mixer. Gives us a USB connection, and that allows us to record Skype simultaneously as well. So we get sort of, a nice package all in one. The problem with that, the downside, is you have to mix live because audio leveling after the fact, which we do process the audio to kind of even out the ups and downs. But if one person is particularly loud, the audio leveling will only go so far. So you kind of have to have a little bit of techie knowledge. It's not terribly difficult to pick up, but you pick it up that way. We also publish everything via WordPress, and we host our audio files for the Grow the Dream show on Amazon S3. There's actually a blog post on the growthedream.com site about how to host your podcast files on Amazon S3. And then we use a WordPress plugin that hooks us up to tracking. So some of the things that you get from Libsyn or SoundCloud in terms of stats, we get from Raw Voice.
Yeah. Well, and that's the one thing. I mean, we talk about metrics and things like that. You can have so much really great analytics on your blog content. Analytics for podcasts and what people actually do with your content after they download it is just, you have no idea. And that's one of the most frustrating things for me is we have no idea how people interact with our content until they reach out to us. So if you ever wonder why we're asking for you to go to ask.growthedream.com and ask questions or to reach out to us on Twitter, is because we don't know how you interact with the content, because there is no analytics that shows how all that's happening. So that's one of the, I get frustrated at that part a lot.
Right. And you would think there would be. I mean, does anybody have any idea why? It almost seems purposeful between iTunes, Stitcher, and the other platforms.
Well, I don't know if it's purposeful. It's just the way RSS feeds and, an RSS feed for a podcast just gives like the URL for how you download the audio file, and then a couple other little bits of metadata like the description and title. And then the podcast listening app, like the iTunes podcast app, just looks for the download file and downloads it.
Right.
So the problem is that it
doesn't even check in with the iTunes central server. It just pulls the file directly from wherever the source is. So so you get download stats, but The real issue, Rod, is that any app that would report back on listening behavior has to phone home.
Yeah.
And so the user would have to have agreed to a privacy thing or have to be online at all times. Actually, Stitcher does this.
Yeah, because they host everything.
Stitcher records and they actually host their own version of your audio file. So like if you're listening to the Grow the Dream show on Stitcher, you're getting a much lower quality audio file than the rest of the world because they process the daylights out of it.
It's so crap.
Yeah, it sounds bad, but that's because they control the bandwidth and they don't download unless you force the app to, which you can do, but they don't download anything. They stream it. So that way if a particular user is playing your file, then it knows how far they played, how far they listened based on how much of the stream it had to send.
Yeah.
And if they rewind and do other things like that, it phones home in real time and lets the server know. So as a Stitcher publisher, you can look at your stats and you can see a lot more interesting, useful information. But unfortunately, your Stitcher segment of your audience is not very big.
Right. So all right. So that we got a lot of useful tips, I think, on that particular point. But I'm still a little bit curious if you guys have some thoughts on, you gave a couple of examples of small business concepts that should be podcasting that can value from it. What might be some examples? We'd said, you know, local geographics that probably wouldn't benefit from it. I mean, are there industries, do you think, that people wouldn't benefit in or that particularly would benefit?
Yeah, I think if you have a national audience, I think
if your clientele doesn't need to be in a specific geography, then podcasting could be a good idea. Also, if there's any industry expertise that you particularly have or that you want to build credibility as an industry expert, podcasting makes a lot of sense, especially if it will help you with your clients. You know, in other words, if being an industry expert makes you more attractive to your clientele, if you're a consultant, if you are an advisor, if you provide a service that involves, you know, educating people. I mean, you know, Marcus Sheridan is a good example. The pool business, they became the leading website in the world on fiberglass pool building. Well, if they have a podcast, I can't imagine someone listening for very many episodes.
Right.
Because their clientele is either going to buy a pool or not. So, I mean, how long are you going to listen to it? Now, if they instead did a show that was focused on the needs of their future clients that may or may not have anything to do with pools. So obviously their clientele would all be homeowners.
I wonder if you could though look at that and say, but you could have thought that same thing regarding blogging for them. And their blog was quite successful.
Well, that's true. But, you know, a person, as Marcus mentioned last week, a person who is getting ready to buy a pool may read 100 different pages of their website.
But they're not going to listen to
it takes a lot more time to listen to 100 episodes of a podcast, right? So I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. That was one of the reasons why I mentioned the idea of maybe just reading your blog post instead of producing a podcast.
That's not a bad idea. Sort of a potential transition testing the market sort of opportunity there.
Yeah, and with stats and whatnot, you can find out. Because most of the time, people are not going to podcast your blog posts in that sense. They're going to listen on your website, and you can get a little bit better analytics about their listening behavior if they use a player that's embedded on your blog posts.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I think, Rod, you're right. I think we've tackled that question from a variety of different angles. But now there will be some people who say, I just want to get into podcasting because I want to make money from it. Maybe they're not trying to use it as a lead gen
like
tool.
As like the business.
Yeah, and that's a whole different thing because then your customer is an advertiser.
Yeah.
And so we do some sponsorships here, like Audible has been kind enough to sponsor our show. A small orange. We've had a couple of different sponsors that we will cycle in and out, and those guys will appear on an episode from here from time to time. But we don't. The three of us are, so far, this is not that's not our big goal. I mean, we might someday make good income from this podcast, but that's not been our business objective with it. So there are good resources out there if you are looking to make money from podcasting. And Josh, I know that's an area that you've spent some time on.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the bottom line is it's hard and it's getting more and more competitive. 2015, I would say, is the year of podcasting. Everybody's getting in it. And there's actually a lot of press around this idea. Mm-hmm. More and more people are doing, posts about, our top favorite podcast for business, that sort of thing, or my favorite podcast to listen to right now. You know, everybody's getting into it, which is really, really cool. But, obviously, as it becomes more competitive, it also becomes more difficult. And you have to be very, very strategic on your launch. I mean, very.
The launch is hugely important leading up to it because, all of us, even those of us that listen to podcasts on a regular basis, and I have at any one time, I have 8 to 10 in my, iTunes podcast. Yeah. And then as I add some, I winnow out some that I haven't been listening to. I just keep it streamlined and I will binge listen some and catch up on things. And I will get hot on some and then cold on some. But it's the strategic listening. I only have so much time, too. I do it often during a workout or if I'm doing maybe some design work or something that's a little bit mindless,
Yeah.
I'll listen to podcasts then. But I have limited time. And I about guarantee you most everybody listening to this show has very limited time in which they can spend on listening to podcasts. And therefore, anybody wanting to launch one has to be strategic in how they are wanting to identify their niche, their audience, how they're going to do it. And then, like you say, spend some real time on the pre-launch lead up. That is huge for it.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
You don't want to come out of the gate crummy.
Nope, you don't. So, Brandon, appreciate you asking about podcasting. Great question from you. Hope you found this useful.
And I actually have a question for our audience. I think would be super interesting to hear, which is, what other podcasts are you guys listening to?
Right.
That would be interesting. I'd love to do.
And then we'll share that on air so that, you know, other listeners who maybe haven't heard of some of the ones you're listening to and getting a benefit out of, we can... you know, let everybody know.
Yeah. Hey, we also heard from Jordan Snowden. Jordan, appreciate you writing in. He said he's a huge fan of the show. And from his note here, he said, I've been binge listening to the show from the beginning of June. I'm actually sad that I'm caught up.
So, that's my favorite.
Guys, love that, Jordan.
Yeah, appreciate you listening to.
We're going daily next month.
20.
What?
Take it.
No, we're not. Sorry, that was a joke.
Okay, I missed it. Sorry, I was.
That's all right. It wasn't funny. It was more like a horror joke.
Oh, okay. The delays, the delays involved in not being in the room. They haven't hurt us too badly, but once in a while. So he said, my business is trying to focus on the service that will be most profitable, but will also offer great value to our clients. We offer website design, website management, email marketing. So Jordan, congrats on your business there, and appreciate you listening.
Osprey,
that's always a challenge,
Media.
Right? Finding the service that you can make good profit on, but you're also offering great value.
Right.
So that's
good. Is there a question in there?
Yeah.
No.
We're just reading that one just because we liked it so much when he said he's sad that he's caught up after binge listening. It's like, it's music to our ears.
Yeah. Well, every Monday.
Yeah.
We hope you find
every marketing
Monday.
Something about it. That's right.
Yeah. So, Brandon, appreciate you listening. Or that was Jordan. Sorry, we mentioned Brandon earlier. So that was Jordan. Appreciate you listening. And of course, we've got some other listener mail here we're not going to take time to get into at the moment. But I think we should do. What do you guys think? Should we do like a show coming up that's just nothing but listener questions? Or did we just
like
do that
the show
today?
We just did.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should do it again.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So send us your questions.
Yeah so you can
send
also
your questions,
visit.
We'll answer them on the air.
And then if you don't want to be named, just say I'm anonymous.
Right.
And if you didn't want to be named and we named you today, then I apologize.
But it's too late.
Right. We've already said we have no assets though. So just for the record.
Oh my gosh. Nice.
Fun stuff. So yeah, guys, this has actually been a fun show today. I've enjoyed this.
Beautiful. Absolutely. No, me too. Matter of fact, once again, even without a guest, I'm sitting here learning stuff. It's amazing when we get to talking about it and discussing our various experiences and clients we work with and the business niches that we serve, I end up starting to take notes and learn something still. So it's terrific.
I feel the same way every time I talk to you guys. So hopefully you, as our listener, you feel the same way. And speaking of sponsors, I think we should just go ahead and thank Audible for sponsoring the show today. Audible is a great way to consume audio content. So if you're running out of podcast material and you're looking for the next thing to listen to, then by all means, grab one of these books. Jonah Berger's book, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, Contagious. Josh, I know you were plowing your way through it last we talked. Have you?
Marketing Mondays idea came from. I stopped at chapter two.
Did you already had too many things to implement, right?
I did.
Yeah, that's the
I
way
did.
That book is.
I went straight to implementing it. I guess I need to go read another chapter and then implement that one.
Yeah, but you could get your own copy of Contagious by Jonah Berger or virtually any other best-selling book that you can imagine. There are hundreds of thousands of titles in Audible, and you can get a free trial of their service as well as the audiobook of your choice by heading over to audibletrial.com/dream. So visit audibletrial.com/dream, and like I said, you get to choose the book that you would like on us, absolutely free, any of the books in their library. You get a free trial of the service for 30 days, and it's a fantastic tool.
Yeah, by the way, actually, I used that. I was not a member of Audible, and I used our, and it worked great.
Yeah.
Well, glad to know somebody tested it out.
I tested it out, and it worked, and I'm pretty happy about it.
I haven't checked recently. They do report back when people sign up from our code there. So if you visit audibletrial.com/dream and end up signing up, then that obviously helps support the Grow the Dream show, which is great. But it also is something that we appreciate Audible making available to you as a means of sponsoring our show. So good stuff there. All right. So, hey, as we wind up today, what are you guys listening to right now? What are you reading? What book?
I got nothing.
I got nothing either.
Oh, well, actually, no, I'm reading The Art of Storytelling.
Oh,
nice. I haven't gotten very far.
Nice.
Ooh,
actually,
I bet that's
I'm
good.
I'm just waiting in line for some of the fiction books that my children are reading right
You're
now.
You're a fiction reader?
I read everything. I love fiction. I love nonfiction. I just if I could find a really good paying niche for me to just read books all day, that would be one of my dream jobs.
Is just to read books.
Oh, I love reading. I mean, from childhood.
I do too. My wife and I tend to go on a John Grisham binge every summer. So I'm reading Grisham right now, but I'm listening to Walter Isaacson's bio on Steve Jobs. I think it was when we had Joey Brannan on a month or two ago. Rod, I think Josh, that was a show that you missed being with us live anyway.
Yeah,
but he mentioned the Steve Jobs bio, and so I got that from audio from Audible, and I'll tell you what, it is fascinating. And I'm not an Apple fanboy, but this is a fascinating
You're
book.
Far from it, my friends.
It's true. I have paid for and owned some Apple devices, just for the record.
But you threw them away.
A couple of iPods and, you know, that sort of stuff.
They've changed. But, they've come a long way. Have you heard of the iPhone?
Yeah, I have. Actually, my wife is an iPhone user. So I have to support an iPhone, as the techie.
Yeah. If you can't tell from the show already, the David Johnson is the nerdiest nerd I know for his age demographic.
He is. Yeah.
That's
I wouldn't
all
say
it
like that. I'm not even sure I would qualify it. He's just flat out really nerdy.
There's some pretty nerdy guys.
Now, you and I run in different circles as far as age demographics go.
Yes, we do.
I might be the nerdiest nerd I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're pretty awesome. I love you for it, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well that's kind. I love you for it, too.
The nerdiness.
Being an Apple fanboy that you are.
No. Yes. Possibly.
All right.
I'm not ashamed. Yeah.
All right. So, hey, if you want to reach out to us, you can tweet us at GTD Show. And you can also visit ask.growthedream.com to ask any question that you would like. We try to tackle those on that website. We'll answer there. But if it's a show, if it's an item you want us to address on the podcast, just mention that you listen to the show and we will tackle your question potentially on an upcoming episode of the Grow the Dream Show. You can also visit growthedream.com/show and catch up on all of the archives. So if you're like Jordan and you're binge listening, you missed anything, maybe some of the episodes that are no longer in our RSS feed that you can't find on iTunes anymore, you can find them all on the website at growthedream.com.
Like episode one, that is a real gem.
It's one of our most popular. One of our other most popular episodes still is the Jay Bear episode.
Yeah. Dude, Jay was awesome.
Which was fun. So if you want to reach out to any of us in particular, you can find Rod on Twitter at Rod_Thompson. There's no P in Thompson, but there is a P in PR. So if you visit ThompsonPR.com, that's where you can find all about Rod.
True enough.
And Josh is available on Twitter at Josh Muccio.
And you also find me on Quora.
On Quora, yeah. So you're answering questions there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll have to do an episode on Quora, maybe.
Oh, we got to. I'm loving it.
Yep. And you can find me on Twitter at the David Johnson because I'm, you know, the David Johnson that you know. I'm not the David Johnson, like the most important.
No, you are
just the one
the
you
David.
Know.
He is the most important one.
That's the reason for that.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.